All right, good evening. Good to see y'all here this evening, and anybody that's online, if you would, stand if you can. I guess everybody is anyways, and we're going to start out by praising with Trade My Sorrows. I'm trading my sorrows, I'm trading my shame, I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. I'm trading my sickness, I'm trading my pain, I'm laying them down for the joy. Say yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, amen. I am pressed but not crushed, persecuted, not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. I am blessed beyond the curse, for his promise will endure, that his joy is gonna be. Sorrow may last for the night, its joy comes with the morning. I'm trading my sorrows, I'm trading my shame, I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. I'm trading my sin. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, amen. We say yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, amen. I am pressed but not crushed, persecuted, not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. I am blessed beyond the curse, for his promise will endure, that his joy is gonna be my strength. Though the sorrow may last for the night, his joy comes with the morning. My sickness. down and covers me. It covers me. It covers me. It covers me. It covers me. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Amazing love, now flowing down from hands and feet that were nailed to the tree. As grace flows down and covers me, it covers me. Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and he is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Pick a hymn. Yeah, y'all want to do pick a hymn? Call out a page number or title or both. Oh, I got to turn all the way back there. All right. I was in the index. I was ready, as I could be, as I thought I could be. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to Thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Holy, 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 all the saints adore Thee, casting down their golden crowns around the glassy sea. Cherubim and seraphim falling down before Thee, which wert and art and evermore shall be. Holy, 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 though the darkness hide Thee, though the eye of sinful man Thy glory may not see, only Thou art holy, there is none beside Thee, perfect in power and love and purity. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, all Thy works shall praise Thy name in earth and sky and sea. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Amen.
Check. Yeah, there we go. Last week we were thinking we were going to have a tropical storm. It never materialized for us, did it? Praise the Lord. Amen. We missed that thing, so there were some folks that got tore up by it. But greater Houston area was spared the brunt of it. It's amazing. That thing was coming in and it jogged some 20-something miles to the east, and just pulled all the bad stuff away from us. Of course, Ronnie and Alita still got a little bit of it down as far as they are south, but most of us up here were spared all the bad stuff. So praise the Lord for that. Amen. All right, praises tonight. Praises. Testimonies. Praises. Yes, ma'am. Great. That's a good word. Amen. Kenzie and her family feeling somewhat better. That's good. All of them with the COVID, six of them, and so looks like maybe they're starting to make the turn. That's good. How old is Kinsey? 38. And the husband or the boyfriend, how old is he? 49. Okay. And then the four kids are younger. 16, 14, 11, and 7. Well, that's pretty good. You're keeping up with all that. Amen. It's pretty good. All right. That's good praise. Amen. Other praises, testimonies, testimoniums. Anything online? Yes, sir. All right, way to go, Bridget. Amen. Well, there's some good news in the midst of the COVID yucky. Bridget Zimmerman, and then Kenzie, and family. Boy, praise God. Doing better. All right, Lori's grandma. Doing better on oxygen. All right. Amen. Other praises and testimonies. What you got, brother? Yeah, Johnny Hyman. I'll read that. Yes, sir. Thank you. Was that a praise or a prayer request? Johnny update. This is Johnny Hyman, Mr. Cora's son. He's running a little fever still at 99. They restarted antibiotics because his white blood cell count also began to climb. Kidneys are still doing well. That's a praise. His blood pressure is normalized. That's a praise. So he's off those meds. The settings on the vent are being brought down in order to taper off. That's a praise. Okay. When they get to a little lower level, they will need to do a tracheotomy, put the air line through the outside of the throat instead of a tube through the mouth and the throat. They do this because there are many risks to keeping it in the throat for too long. They will probably do this Monday or Tuesday. Be in prayer for that because it does have its own set of risks. Love you all and so deeply appreciate the prayers. That's Jeanette, Johnny Hyman's wife. So continue to pray for Johnny tonight. Johnny H. Okay, that's coming up. Other praises? Any other praises? Testimonies? Encouraging words, scriptures, passages of scripture. Bible stories that have blessed you this past week. Verses that just jumped out and grabbed you. Anything, anything. Read it. Amen. There you go. Psalm 141:3. I like it. What else, what else? Any encouraging words, verses, Bible stories, passages? Anything? Feel like that Jeopardy music about to come on. Na, 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 na. Yes, sir. Amen, brother. Very good. Very good. All right. How about some prayer requests? Yes, sir, in the back. A heart attack, I think. What's his name? Got it. Mike Burkhalter family died suddenly. And this was, when did he pass? Wow. Yes. You got it, brother. Amen. What else? Who's this now? Yes. How are they doing? Health issues. Amen, amen. We'll pray for them. Sharon's foot. Where is Sharon at? She's home. Still in the hospital. Still can't nobody see her. No. Yeah, they let one person in. One. health issues, Sharon's foot's still in the hospital. Did they give her any indication when the surgery's coming? My soul. Okay. She'd been in there for what, 2 weeks? Man. All right. All right, Ann and Fred, Sharon's foot still needing surgery. Foot needs to go down. Yes, anything else? Yes, ma'am. Yes, Manuel family, we got a text message from, you, John, you remember, I think you remember them, the Villarreals. What was their name? What's Tammy and Ted? Yeah, they used to do the square dance for this, so the lady took it over with the red hair that used to come to church here. Got a text from her, and our neighbor all the way at the end of our street down by the pool passed away the 14th. She's 52 years old, just turned 52, died of COVID on a ventilator and passed away. Yeah, she's in, employed at the Tomball High School. So I think our kids, Olivia may at least knew her, I don't know. Okay, so Bridget, it's the Bridget Manuel family. She passed the 14th. I was talking to another neighbor as they were as I was leaving for church, and just they live two houses this way in the cul-de-sac. The Manuels live opposite direction down here from me. I'm at the very beginning of the cul-de-sac, not in it, but just the last house before the cul-de-sac starts, and then they're all the way down. And I was talking to Jimmy and his wife, Diane, and just letting him know, did he know that she had passed away? And he said, yes, he did. And I said, well, the funeral's the 26th at Redeemer. So it kind of sounds like maybe they had some church membership. And they said, well, we got another one on the 28th. And I said, well, who passed that you're going on the 28th? He said, one of our church members, 82 years old, fully vaccinated, died of COVID. Unbelievable. Still working in relative good health. But didn't make it. So it's a real deal, man. Bridget Manuel, and then pray for her family and her daughter. Bless her daughter's heart. It's a big, big time. Sad, sad, sad. Other prayer requests? Yes, in the back, up here. Kid, not. What's his name? Leaves a wife. And three kids. Wow. Somebody else had a hand up. Yes, sir, Brother Gene. Oh, I'm sorry. You had another one. We got that. Amen. So, Miss Bicky, we need to pray for you. You're back? Okay, dear. All right. Yes, sir, Brother Gene, back there. I got you now. Unspoken. All right. Those of you with unspokens, lift your hand. You know, we've got, it's kind of come to me through the grapevine that we've got some of our membership that attend here that don't want to hear about the COVID stuff. Don't talk. That's all we hear. That's all we hear. We hear that on the news. We hear that. Well, guess what, man? People are still dying of it. I didn't know what to tell you. I mean, it's kind of like the lost person saying, don't preach the gospel to me. Don't preach the gospel to me. I don't want to hear that I'm going to hell. I don't want to hear that I'm going, what? Are you got to be kidding me, man? Like, I'm not going to preach the gospel. I'm preaching the gospel. I'm not going to talk about COVID. People are dying. People are still dying left and right, closing their eyes. So I've got a, and it's happened to me before. I'm telling you, it's not my first rodeo. I've been doing this, I don't know how long I've been doing this now, it's a long time. But I've got a, what do I call it? Fan club in the congregation. I got a fan club. And they got a president and a secretary and everything else. And they have their little impromptu meetings on the phone or via text or however they do it. Or sometimes they're even chatting in the midst of the, when I'm preaching under their breath. It's unbelievable to me. But it is what it is. I love them. And I'm going to pastor them. And I'm going to pastor you. And if you become part of the fan club, you might end up running me off. So I would watch that fan club very carefully. I would watch that fan club. That's not the fan club you want to be a part of. Does that make sense? Amen. You want to miss out on that one, right? And they've got a little bit of group. They got a little hold in here, and we don't want it. We don't want it to get bigger than about 10% of what we got. It just squelches the spirit when there's that kind of negativity and that kind of divisiveness and division all the time, critical of what the pastor's saying, all the time critical. The brother's just trying to preach the Bible, Matthew and Revelation, and dealing with current events. People are still dying from COVID. We're going to pray for people with COVID. They don't get COVID. We're going to pray for the families who have lost loved ones. I mean, don't those people need to be prayed for? Don't we need to mention them? I mean, don't they deserve a mention, right? Don't they just? But this is the deal. I don't want to get a vaccine, and I don't want to wear a mask, and so you're convicting me every time you say that. Well, be convicted. If the shoe fits, then by golly, put it on if you feel convicted, right? Because I'm going to keep speaking it. Grow your fan club, and you can do your little call of confidence and move me on down the road. But I'm resolute and going all the way, friend. You better pack you a lunch. You better pack you a lunch, man. I'm telling you. Yes, sir. Amen. I don't want, man. Yeah. I mean, what we're doing with the mask thing, you know, please put on a mask when you come in. No, we're not going to have coffee. No, we're not going to have donuts. We got to find some middle ground or not have public service. Or not have public service. Because you know and I know, if somebody in this congregation comes down with COVID, where'd they get it? They got it here. Whether they got it here or not, they got it here. They got it here at the church. Pastor Steve didn't protect us. That sorry dirtbag, he did not protect us. Well, now I'm protecting you. You got to keep the mask on, right? And you can't be in the spit zone unless you're part of my family. My family's right here in the spit zone, right? Yeah. If you're in the spit zone, you're part of my family. You know, I mean, we got this group over here. They're 25 feet away. But if you're within 15 feet, you really need to be, you know, part of the preacher's family. So, but anyway. That's what's going on. Anything else? Unspokens, we've got that. Pray for the fan club. Let's see the light. See the light. Yes, ma'am. Yeah. 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 Did it become real for the other employees when she passed? Yeah. That's when it becomes real. Yeah. Yeah, man. Come on, we need to pray for people. Pray for people. Yeah. And try to keep your stuff on your face and keep my stuff on my face and wash your stuff off every chance you can get. Germex, Germex, Germex. So I wish we had enough space where we had a 40-foot ceiling, you know, 120-foot wide sanctuary. We could suck air out as fast as we're blowing air in, and we didn't have to wear nothing. But this is what we got and what we got to deal with. So anyway, anything else before we pray? All right, all right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. And Lord, as we think about these praises and prayer requests, Lord, we thank you for your love and for your grace. Lord, we thank you for your goodness to us. And Lord, we just thank you for all that you do for us, how you've saved us, how you've brought us out of darkness and into light. We praise you and thank you for that, Lord. Father God, as we come to you tonight, we lift these praises up to you. We praise you for Bridget and Zimmerman and Kinsey's family, Lord, doing somewhat better from the COVID. Lord, I pray that they would continue to make that ultimate improvement and not have any lasting health effects or issues from the virus, that their bodies would have enough antibodies, Lord, they wouldn't have to deal with it or any other variant. Again, God, I pray you just help them through that. Lord, we pray for Lori's grandmother. Thank you that she's doing better, but she's still on the O2, the oxygen, Lord. We just pray for her. Strengthen her. Help her get back where she needs to get. Lord, we're thankful for the scripture and the testimonies that were shared tonight. I pray that every Sunday night we get together, Lord, we can share a word of encouragement with one another. Lord, the fruit of our study over the past week, maybe a devotional, Lord, or something that you revealed to us in prayer, a verse or just a truth that we can share, God. Let that continue in our Sunday night service together. We're thankful for it tonight. Lord, as we lift up these requests to you, we thank you for Johnny and Jeanette, Lord. We continue to pray for Johnny. We're thankful for the improvements that he's making. And Lord, we pray that his body would just be ready to receive that trach. And Lord, there'd be no infections. And God, they'd be able to excavate him and get that tube out of his throat and everything, Lord, and just help him, God. We pray as we prayed for our sister at First North Houston for months. We're just going to continue to lift up Johnny Hyman, Lord, and pray that you spare his life, and Lord, that you give him back to us. You give him back to Socorro. You give him back to Jeanette. You give him back to his daughter and his granddaughter. Lord, we just lift Johnny up and pray your healing touch, your healing hand upon him. Lord, we lift up the Burkhalter family to you. We pray for the sudden loss of Mike, this fireman friend of Vince and father and husband, Lord. We pray for that family. Help them as they deal with this sudden loss, this sudden onset of grief. And God, we pray that there would be Christians and chaplains, Lord, and people to come across their path to bring encouragement to them and share the love of Christ with them, Lord. And we just pray you see them through this most difficult time. We lift up Beth to you, Lord, and dealing with this postpartum depression. As she got this beautiful baby, Lord. Sometimes this old depression sneaks in on us when the hormones and everything start to regulate and do their thing and all that jazz, Lord. We just pray you see her through. Help her, Lord. I pray her hormones balance out and this depression, Lord, would lift from her here in the next day or two. Lord, we continue to pray for Sharon Heibarger. We pray for her foot. We pray that the swelling would go down, the blood blisters would heal up, and Lord, she would get ready to have this foot surgery and get on the road, the path to healing. We just lift Sharon up to you, Lord, and pray you touch her body. Ann and Fred, we lift them up to you. And Lord, we pray for their health issues. And Lord, we miss them. We love them. But Lord, we know that they're watching and they're part of the service. And so, Lord, we praise you and thank you for them. But Lord, touch their bodies as they continue to struggle with health issues. And then the Manuel family, Lord, and the loss of Bridget on September 14th from COVID, we pray for them. We pray for their comfort. We pray for that daughter who's a senior this year and going to not have her mama with her. And Lord, we just pray that you give that little girl what she needs. You let that daddy be able to do what he needs to do to step in the gap for his wife that's no longer there for that young daughter. And Lord, I pray you bind their hearts together, Lord. And Lord, Redeemer has something to do with that funeral. That funeral is going to be at Redeemer. I pray that staff and those deacons and Lord, different people in that church would just be praying and helping and reaching out to this Manuel family at this time. And then Lord, Donovan's family, we lift up them. Also, loss of life from COVID leaves a wife and three kids. Lord, we pray for them. We pray for their comfort. We pray for their peace. We pray for their finances, Lord. We pray that you might help them and see them through. And Father God, we just asking for deliverance for that family. For Miss Bicky's back, God, we pray for her. Pray for her pain, her level of pain. Thank you, Lord, that she's so ready and willing to come to church and be a part of what's going on and be a witness to her family, even in the midst of all the pain that she's sometimes experiencing. Lord, we lift up the unspokens to you tonight. We thank you, God, that we can lay those down at your feet and that, Lord, you hear us. And we don't have to speak them out publicly, but we just get to speak them out to you again privately. And, Lord, we're thankful that you hear us. And that, God, you're here to help us, and you love us. And, Lord, you're in control of what we're struggling with, whether it be a relationship or a sin issue or, Lord, whatever it may be, reconciliation with somebody that we know that's so desperately lost, and we just keep praying and praying and praying for them. Lord, thank you that you hear our unspokens, and we lay them again at your feet. Thank you we can do that another week, another time, another day. Lord, we thank you that you hear us. We thank you that you receive it. We just praise you for that. Lord, we lift up Robert to you as he deals with the world we're living in. Some vaccinated, some unvaccinated. Lord, we pray that you would protect those workers there at Hobby Lobby. You'd protect those shoppers there at Hobby Lobby. You'd protect Robert there at Hobby Lobby. Lord, I pray that his antibodies from having the virus would protect him. And, Lord, any subsequent vaccines he might have had, Lord, I pray that that gives him enough that he doesn't have to worry any longer about getting it. But, Lord, we just pray a hedge of protection. We pray safety for these people at Hobby Lobby. And, Lord, help them work together as a group, work together as a team, and, Lord, find the common ground, the common good to get their work done and to protect one another. And then, Lord, we just pray there's people that are sick. They just don't go there. They just stay out of the store. They go somewhere else, go to Walmart or somewhere else down the road. They don't go to Hobby Lobby. Lord, I pray you just spare that store from any sickness coming into it. Thank you for Robert. Thank you for his desire to provide for his family and work. And, Lord, we just pray you protect him in that. Father God, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for your church tonight. We thank you for those that are with us online. And, Lord, we pray that our hearts and minds be open to getting into the Bible study here in Revelation chapter 14. As we talk about the three preaching angels tonight. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. Amen. All right, let's take a copy of God's Word and turn to Revelation chapter 14. We'll look here at verses 6. We're working our way through verses 6 through 11. I'll invite you to stand in honor of the reading of the holy and inerrant Word of God. Now, what I found amusing, it was almost amusing, I didn't really deal with it today because I don't know. I just didn't deal with it. But Jesus got to sit in a boat and everybody else stood. Wouldn't that be something, amen? If I just kind of sat down here and the rest of y'all stood for the next 35, 40 minutes, that'd be kind of nice. But we won't do it that way. But Revelation chapter 14, beginning in verse 6. Have you found it? All right, the Word of God reads, and I saw another angel flying in mid-heaven, having an eternal gospel to preach to those who live on the earth, and to every nation and tribe and tongue and people. And he said with a loud voice, fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. Worship him who made the heaven and the earth and sea and springs of waters. And another angel, a second one, followed, saying, fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great, she who has made all the nations drink of the wine of the passion of her immorality. Then another angel, a third one, followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast in his image and receives a mark on his forehead or on his hand, he also will drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is mixed in full strength in the cup of his anger. And he will be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of the torment goes up forever and ever. They have no rest day and night, those who worship the beast in his image and whoever receives the mark of his name. Amen. Thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the inerrant Word of God, and may he add his tremendous blessing to it. So last time we were dealing with this on Wednesday night, we were doing a little review on angels. And we were talking about how angels serve throughout Scripture as God's what? God's messengers, right? I mean, that's what the Greek word angelos means. It means messenger. Angels, we said, will play a major role in end time events. And in fact, here we are in chapter 14, verses 6 through 11. We got three of them that are proclaiming these incredible things. We ask the question, what do you think God is trying to do by giving these three angels and these messages? What do you think he's trying to do? We answer that question. God is seeking to offer grace through fear, right? Through fear. You listen to what these angels are saying, and it's not rainbows and unicorns. It's a pretty fearful thing that's being spoken of here. He's offering grace through fear so that the lost about to be judged might experience saving faith. And so with all of that kind of said, we got into and began the first angel preaching the gospel, verses 6 and 7. Now, this preaching angel, we said he would be unreachable. We said the world's view of him would be unobstructed. And we said, like the 144,000, his ministry will be unhindered, right? We talked about understanding the context of these three angels preaching. The context, man, the world is going to look like a piece of Swiss cheese at this point. The atmosphere, the landscape, you know, the earth will be coming back in some areas and greening up and recovering as it's been experiencing all of these things falling from the sky and earthquakes and all of this stuff going on. But it's going to be a rough, rough landscape, a rough, rough context that these three angels are preaching in or talking in. We talked how the eternal gospel preached by the angel, this is what we covered last Wednesday, is the same one proclaimed throughout all history. The gospel has not changed, right? Some people look to the cross. Some people look to Christ, Old Testament saints. They look to Jesus. We simply look back at Christ. We look back at him. Praise God, we're in the church age. Praise God, the curtain was rent from top to bottom when Jesus said it was finished. Right? Praise God for all that. We don't have to sacrifice animals. There's been one perfect sacrifice to take care of all the penalty of humanity's sin. And so here we are in the church age. But we talked about how this gospel has been the same throughout all human history. In the tribulation, most people will already, we talked about this a little bit, will already be familiar with the gospel. Why? Because of the preaching of the 144,000. Why? Because of the preaching of the two witnesses and other believers that have gotten converted and gone out in this great evangelistic thrust here at the end of the tribulation. We ended with Matthew chapter 24, verse 14, a passage of Scripture that in my earlier days of preaching the Bible, I would often take out of context and talk about this as leading up to the rapture of the church. Matthew 24, 14 is really a passage of Scripture that deals with the end of the tribulation and his second advent. Matthew 24, 14 says, "The gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come." In other words, his second coming. So as we begin fresh this evening with some new stuff, talking about this first angel preaches the gospel, the preaching of this angel will reach any who still have not heard the gospel message. They will have the opportunity to be reached with the gospel. As earth's darkest hour approaches, the angel will proclaim the good news that there is still time. Believe it or not, there is still time. Believe it or not, there's another opportunity to be saved. There is still time to repent before God's judgment resumes, because we're coming up to the six bowl judgments here and then the actual physical return of Christ on Mount Zion. Now, the all-inclusive phrase here in our passage this evening, every nation and tribe and tongue and people, stresses the comprehensive worldwide nature of the angel's proclamation. The angel will call out with a loud voice. He won't low talk it. You won't be wondering, or those in attendance, or those that see him in the sky, they won't be saying, What's he saying? I can't hear him. Can you hear? There won't be any of that. They will know for sure he speaks with a loud voice to all unregenerate people everywhere. Now, his loud voice ensures he will be heard and emphasizes the urgency of his message. The angel's message to sinners is what? Right? Fear God and give him glory. Fear God and give him glory. You know, that's what people today don't do outside the church. And there are some inside of churches that's the furthest thing from the program or the preaching of the church, because that ain't popular. That ain't popular. You're not going to build a crowd telling people to fear God and give him glory. You're just not going to build a crowd of people. But that is the truth of the issue. The angel's message to sinners is fear God and give him glory. He will call people of the world to change their allegiance from the beast to the Lamb, specifically those that have not taken the mark of the beast. He will urge them to no longer fear, no longer reverence, no longer worship Satan. Hey, you know, we've gone to this service, and man, they're putting up the image of this beast, and he's pointing to this guy called the Antichrist, and man, he solved all of these world issues, and man, this service is rocking, and we got to be a part of it. I mean, there's smoke on the stage, and there's lights, and it's just an upbeat. I mean, man, it's positive. It's a cool thing. And they said, if we want to, at the end, we can come down and we can get a mark. And that mark helps us trade. And that mark helps us get what we need at the Walmart or the Kroger's. And man, you know, we're getting short and we're getting sly. You know, we've co-opted all of our stuff and we're trying to feed one another. But man, this worship of the beast, this thing is legit. It's real. And I don't know. I'm on the fence. Should I get this mark? And this angel's going to say, don't take it. This angel's going to say, repent. This angel's going to urge them to no longer fear and worship Satan and Antichrist, but instead to fear and reverence and honor God by turning to his Son. The implication, if you've not picked up on it, the implication or the sense that we get from studying this first angel preaching the gospel is that there are still many who have not taken the mark of the beast. Now, there may be a lot that take it in New York. New York may already be a done deal. The West Coast may already be a done deal. Of course, your pastor thinks one of them earthquakes has taken that whole thing down. That whole state's coming off during the earthquakes of all this crazy mess. But there's going to be some population centers that have already probably turned all the way to the Antichrist. But there's going to be some outlying areas, and I've talked about this in the past, over a year ago. There's going to be some good old boys down in the South, some good old boys down in Mexico. There's going to be some good old boys down in South America, and some good old boys in Africa that hadn't bent the knee, have not bent the knee to the Antichrist, have not taken the mark. Self-sufficient, living off the land, as little land there is to live off of, but they're still going. The implication is not everyone has taken the mark of the beast. Now, what is the application or the takeaway from this first angel's preaching? I'll give it to you. As the sovereign ruler of the universe, God alone has the right to be worshipped. That's the application. I think that's the point that the gospel, that the revelator is trying to make to us as he's writing under the inspiration, as he's getting these visions, and as he's putting pen to paper. Take your Bibles and go to Revelation chapter 19. Since we're in the book, we'll just flip to it. It's easy to get there. 19:10. Notice what it says in Revelation 19, verse 10. The Word of God reads this. Then I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, do not do that. I am a fellow servant of yours and your brethren who hold the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Take your Bibles and turn further to 22. 22, chapter 22, verse 9. It's kind of like John needed to hear it again. You know, sometimes we just need to hear the truth one more time. Just one more time we need to hear the truth. Revelation 22, verse 9. Did you find it? But he said to me, do not do that. I'm a fellow servant of yours and of your brethren, the prophets, and of those who heed the words of this book. Worship God. Worship God. Matthew chapter 4, verse 10. The temptation of Christ. Jesus said to him, Matthew 4, 10, go, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve Him only. Now, I'm talking to the choir tonight. I get it. Amen. So let me ask the question. How does our worshiping of God begin? How does our worshiping of God begin? It begins, I would want you to pick up on this. I want you to consider this if you haven't already. It begins by our humble reverence and fear. We don't come in to church or to Sunday school or to Bible study or to our quiet time for that matter. We don't come in with our chests puffed out and strutting thinking that we're all that in a bag of chips. We approach God certainly boldly. You can, amen. You can come to God anytime. You can come to Jesus anytime. But we are to approach Him in humble reverence and fear. There's that word again, fear. The Bible repeatedly calls people to fear God. Why the Health, Wealth, Prosperity movement will not put this in their preaching, I've got to guess. Why other churches won't put this in their preaching, I've got to guess. But to not put it in your preaching, to not preach all the counsel of God is to mislead the people of Christ. It's to mislead them. And so the Bible repeatedly calls people to fear God. Psalm 111 verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do His commandments. His praise endures forever. Proverbs 23:17 says, do not let your heart envy sinners, but live in the fear of the Lord always. Proverbs 24:21 says, my son, fear the Lord and the King. Now, I like what the second half says. It says, do not associate with those who are given to change. Given to change. Now, what does he mean by that, given to change? If you read Proverbs 24:21 in the Amplified translation, this is what it says. It says, my son, reverently fear the Lord and the King, and do not associate with those who are given to change of allegiance and are revolutionary. Proverbs 24:21. 1 Peter 2:17 says, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the King. Right? We go on. Matthew 10:28. Do not fear those who kill the body but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear Him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. So in light of these verses, what do we mean to fear God? What do we mean to fear God? To fear God is to live in the reality of His holiness. To live in the reality of His sovereignty. To live in the reality of His judgment of sin. To fear God is to love God. It is to respect God. It is to reverence Him. It is to adore Him. It is to hold Him in awe and to worship Him. To worship Him. Now, so in light of these verses, how do we worship God? How do we worship God? The Father can only be worshiped through the Son in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the only way it happens. Through the Son. Through Jesus the Son. John chapter 5:23 says, so that all will honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent Him. The only way we worship. See, you talk to these people, go, yeah, man, I've got a faith. Yeah, me and God are tight. Me and God, oh man, we're so tight. Man, I'm really with God. Well, so tell me about your relationship with Jesus. What? Jesus. Oh, no. I'm doing this other thing. It's Buddha. Or it's Confucius. So, oh, yeah, it's a new age. Or it's kind of a secret co-op. I'll text you the address if you want to come to it. And man, we really get down with God. But I want to know about Christ. I want to know about how Jesus fits in. Well, Jesus, no, man, we just worship God. Uh-uh. Negative. No, you don't. Right? If you're worshiping God, I guarantee you're worshiping Jesus. Right? You're worshiping God through the Christ, so that all will honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. God has sent his Son, right, to save us. And to be that vessel, if you will, of worship. In addition to fearing God, people are to give him what? Or to give him glory, right? This requirement, or this command, if you will, goes to the very essence of the problem of unregenerate lost people. They don't want to give God his due. They do not want to give God his due. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to give God his due. I'm not going to give him the time that's due him. I'm not going to give him the finances that are due him. I'm not going to give him the prayer work that's due him. I'm not going to give him the repentance work that's due him. I'm not going to do all of these things. You say, Pastor, you talking about working for your salvation? I'm not. I'm talking about living the disciple life because you are saved, right? But there's people that are lost, and they look at that and they say, not going to do it. Not going to do it. Too time-consuming. I got too many more irons in the fire, man. I just can't let go of anything to pick something else up. This requirement command goes to the very essence of the problem of unregenerate lost people. Romans 1:21 says, for even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations. And their foolish heart was darkened. Is that somebody that's saved? That's not anybody that's saved. That's somebody that has some head knowledge. That's somebody that's religious. We talked about them today. The superficial religious hearer. It just doesn't quite connect. It just doesn't quite get there for them. Amen. You still with me? Refusing to give God glory is the core of man's prideful rebellion. Now, back to the context and the verses at hand. Verses 6 and 7 is what we're trying to work our way through. Unbelievers will be called to fear and glorify God immediately because the hour of his judgment has come. The six bowl judgments are about to rapid fire happen, and then Jesus is going to be coming down on Mount Zion dealing with all this stuff, right? Opportunity is fading fast, right? And so, Matthew 25, 31 through 46 is some good reading for you if you want to read on that. But as we work our way through these verses, I want you to look at verse 7 with me, 14, verse 7, right? And what is verse 7? And he said with a loud voice, fear God and give him glory because the hour of his judgment. Maybe underline that or take a note on that. In verse 7, this is the first occurrence of the Greek word krisis, which we get judgment from in Revelation. Now, judgment is going to appear again in chapter 16, verse 7. And it's going to appear again in 18:10. And it's going to appear again in 19:2. And then krisis has a synonym in the Greek, krema. And that Greek word appears in 17:1. And 18:20, and chapter 20, verse 4. So judgment, we've been talking about how judgment goes with Revelation. Judgment is really starting to wind up now, right? Really, if it's a pitcher on the mound, man, he's getting the sign, and he's about to do his backdrop, right, before he does his wind up and throw, right? It's its own. Up to this point in Revelation, the word wrath, W-R-A-T-H, has been used to describe God's judgment. Revelation 6, Revelation chapter 11. But the two terms, wrath and judgment, will continue to be used interchangeably as we go forward. 15:1, 15:7, 16:1, 16:19 and 19:15. What are you trying to tell me, preacher? I'm trying to tell you this. God's righteous judgments are the outpouring of His wrath against the stubborn and unrepented world. That's why the stubborn and unrepented world needs to repent and turn and believe. Now, one would think at this point in the book of Revelation, chapter 16, that the angel's warnings would be unnecessary or unneeded. You've had the 144,000 witnesses. You've had the, or evangelists, 144,000 evangelists. You've had the two witnesses. You've had the converts of these folks that have been preaching the gospel probably to their death, telling of the goodness of grace, trying to get people to convert and to believe and to exercise their free will away from the Antichrist, Satan, and the devil into Jesus Christ and God the Father. You would think it's unnecessary or unneeded. After all of this preaching of the gospel has happened. All of these devastating seals and trumpet judgments have happened. You'd think people would be ready. The earth will have been devastated by worldwide wars and famines and earthquakes resulting in the destruction of the environment. Witnessed terrifying signs in the heavens and been attacked by demon hordes. I mean, it's been awful. All of that will result in death on a scale unprecedented in human history. I'm telling you, if I've got a crystal ball, and I don't believe in that stuff, but I'm telling you, these football stadiums and these big coliseums are going to be stacked high with the dead bodies. They're going to be giant crematoriums. So many people are going to be dead. But the lost inhabitants of the earth will eventually realize that those disasters are God's judgments. They'll eventually get there, that this earth is really being judged by its Creator. However, because of their hardness of heart, they will defiantly refuse to repent. But that doesn't mean God doesn't send them the message of grace. Revelation 9, 20 through 21 tells us that they just won't bend. They just won't submit. They just won't sorrow. They just won't humble. They just won't lay it down. But the angel gives one final reason for sinners to turn from Antichrist to God, proclaiming that people should worship Him, the one who made the heaven and the earth and sea and springs of waters. The hour of His judgment has come. Worship Him who made the heaven and the earth and sea and springs of waters. Amen? I'm still with you. Hold on. Where was I at? There I is. Amen. So what is the implication or the application of this final push to repent, motivated by fear and encouraged by the creation that we read about in 7b? The application, the implication, what I think the Revelator is trying to get across, the created universe both offers proof of God's existence and provides grounds for worshiping Him. Turn to Psalm chapter 19. And we're almost done here. Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Psalm 19. I didn't get it marked, so it's taken me a minute. Psalms 19, beginning in verse 1. Are you there? The heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of His hands. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their utterances to the end of the world. In them He has placed a tent for the sun. Now, if you'll take your Bibles and turn a little bit further in your Old Testament to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. The Word of God reads in Isaiah 40, verses 21 through 26. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been declared to you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is He who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. He it is who reduces rulers to nothing, who makes the judges of the earth meaningless. Scarcely have they been planted, scarcely have they been sown, scarcely has their stock taken root in the earth, but He merely blows on them and they wither, and the storm carries them away like stubble. To whom then will you liken me, that I would be His equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and see who has created these stars, the One who leads forth their host by number. He calls them all by name. Because of the greatness of His might and the strength of His power, not one of them is missing. That's potent and powerful, isn't it? The Word of God. Because God reveals Himself in His creation, men, women, people are without excuse for not acknowledging Him. Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 20, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known about God is evident within them. For God made it evident to them, for since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. When Paul evangelized Jews, he always started from the Old Testament Scripture, because that's what they knew. I mean, they were versed in it. You would just know that as a Jew. You would know your Old Testament. But when he evangelized pagans, Greeks, Gentiles like me and you, when he evangelized pagans, whether simple common folk as he did per Acts 14, 14 through 17, or sophisticated philosopher folk as he did in Acts 17, verses 22 through 31, he proclaimed, Paul the Apostle, that the true and living God must be worshipped because He is the Creator of everything. The angel's stern warning in Revelation 14, 6 and 7, is that the Creator is also the Judge. He is the one people should fear. He is the one people should worship, rather than Satan, rather than the Antichrist, rather than the world system. So as the world teeters here in Revelation chapter 14, as it teeters on the brink of final disaster, God graciously offers people another chance to repent. And He will snatch some, not all, but He will snatch some who heed the warning. He will snatch them like snatching them out of the fire of judgment, and He will transfer them from Satan's kingdom of darkness into the soon-to-be-manifest kingdom of His Son. Paul writes about it in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, which is our last verse tonight, where he's writing to the church at Colossae. For Paul writes, "For He rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son." Verse 14 says, "In whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." Amen. Let's close with a word of prayer and we'll be dismissed. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You tonight for Your Word. We thank You, Lord, that we at least got through verses 6 and 7 tonight. Thank You for that, Lord, as we work our way through these three angels and their messages. Thank You for the message of this gospel that this one angel will give, Lord. We don't know his name and we don't know how it's all going to play out. And, Lord, we won't be there as we understand our eschatology. We will have already been raptured. And we'll have a glorified body and we'll be in a series of praise events and worshiping You around the throne. And so, God, we just trust that all this goes to Your plan and Your sovereignty and Your order. And, Lord, as we better understand our eschatology, may it encourage us to be a gospel seed sower, as we were talking about sowing the seed this morning. And Lord, I pray that some of the seed would fall on receptive, good ground, and they would hear it and understand it before it is eternally too late, and they might receive the gospel message. Lord, we continue to pray for those that are religious and just not quite there yet. We continue to pray for those that are just uninterested, Lord. They just don't get it. It goes down, but as soon as it goes down, the devil, the demonic, snatches it away. We continue to pray for them that more seed would come their way and they would eventually get it. But Lord, help us. Help us sow that seed. And Lord, we pray that as we sow it, other church members from other congregations would sow it behind us, and other congregations and church members behind them would sow it again. And Lord, it would just be a cumulative effort to these lost folks, and they couldn't deny it. They can't get away from the conviction of it, Lord. They have to listen and think it through and make a right decision about it. So Lord, we pray for salvations. We pray for glory and honor to your name. We pray that you continue to use us in spite of us. Thank you, God. We pray for our healthcare workers, Lord. Give them protection this coming week. Give them the strength they need to do what they've been tasked to do. And Lord, as this COVID thing continues to go forward, we pray as it perhaps get ready to transition into something else, that it transitions into something that's not near as deadly and not near as contagious, God. We pray that it would become a whole lot milder and a whole lot less contagious. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. All right, you folks are dismissed. Thank you tonight.